Our text is from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, I was in a video rental shop, and I was talking with the owner, and I was doing some research on things regarding teenagers at the time, and so I said to him, what do you think is the most popular video that teenagers rent? And he said, well, you're going to think this is kind of strange, but the one that I seem to rent out the most, especially to teenage boys, is a video called Faces of Death and Faces of Death 2. And he went on to explain that it was a video of pieced together video records of actual deaths that had taken place in car accidents or people being executed or whatever. And I remember he said, man, should young people be so fascinated with death and so focused on death? Why is it that something that is often so intriguing and mysterious to us, like death, can demand such attention? Why do we slow down at car accidents to kind of see if anybody was killed? They claim that only about 10% of the population or less, some estimate it's only 5%, will actually see someone die and witness a death. As a pastor at the bedside of many members, I've witnessed it a few times, a handful of times. And it is a very strange thing to suddenly see this body that's been alive and breathing and movement in the eyes and so on to suddenly go still and to suddenly have no movement. And even somebody, I've seen people in comas, I've seen people in that are just passed out for various reasons in the hospital and so on, but the dead body still looks different. The face of a dead person still looks different than someone in a coma. My dad, when he was young, had a cousin who was much older than he and was a mortician. And they were at a family funeral once, and he said his cousin took him aside, this mortician, and told him the best angle to stand at the casket to look at the dead body so that the person looked the most natural. He said the place the person's body usually looks the least natural is face on, but from the top down they look the most natural. Isn't that something that and maybe you've noticed that at funerals, if you see your loved one's face straight on, because the soul is no longer present, there's a completely different look to this body. One of the reasons that death can be kind of intriguing for us and at the same time terrifying is because we project ourselves into it. We project our own faces into this. There are a lot of things in life that you can go out and try to get a sense of what they are like. Falling, you can go out and skydive and see what it's like to try and get a little sensation of that. There are a lot of different things that you can do in life to try to experience, but when it comes to that actual moment of passing from being alive to dead, you just can't get a sense of that until it actually happens. And that unknown element for everybody is what makes it such a fearful prospect. I'm going to ask you to use your imagination for just a moment. Imagine a prisoner who's on death row, and every day he looks out of the bars of his cell, out into the open yard at the gates and so on, and out in front are the entrance gates and the exit gates for the prison, but that same building and part of that same gatehouse, if you will, is also where the executions take place. And he knows that someday he's going to have to go out through that door into that execution chamber, and he looks at that every day from his cell, and he's terrified. But suddenly one day a messenger from the governor shows up, and he has received a full pardon for his crime, and the next morning he's going to be released And so the night before, he's looking through those bars in his cell again out at that gatehouse, but has a completely different perspective on it now. Now he looks at those doors as his entrance into freedom. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come to pardon you and me for all of our sins by his blood on Calvary. And he himself now has gone through death and made it into something completely different for you and me. Not something that has to terrify you, but something that you can look at like the gate to real freedom and real life and experiencing pure joy in eternity. You can now look at passing through death in a completely different way because of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. And just in case anybody here today at any age in life is wondering whether or not this powerful, wonderful teaching of Scripture, this awesome truth of our own resurrection is intended for you, God the Holy Spirit has made sure that throughout the pages of Scripture, he has sprinkled in little stories about resurrections that took place in this world so that every one of us can say of every age, of every gender, it could happen for me. We think about Elijah in the Old Testament raising the young boy back to life. Jesus at the home of the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, the young man of Nain, the raising of Lazarus. God gives us these stories in Scripture. He didn't have to tell us about them, but he knows how terrifying the thought of death is for us, how hard it is to look at it, and he wants you and me to have confidence and to be comforted. This text in front of us is just amazing when you think about it. Listen to what it says again. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. Just think what this is that's coming back to get us out of our graves. The one who holds the keys to death and Hades. The powerful, victorious Redeemer. God himself is coming back from heaven. And it says the dead in Christ will rise first. Isn't that great how God talks about you and me? Those who trust in Christ and just hold on to him, the dead in Christ. That's just an awesome, what a great way to be referred to by God. What an amazing thing faith is. That just that little activity in your heart that God the Holy Spirit works to grab on to Christ and hold on to him and put your trust and confidence into him. And by that you possess everything Easter is all about. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. This is a victory march. This isn't some humble, lowly little thing like Jesus riding on the donkey into Jerusalem. This isn't him going in to be slaughtered. This is the victory now. One of the words that I love to hear in connection to the resurrection is the word revivification. That's a great word, revivification, that our bodies, still in death, will be so revived by the power of his voice and returned and reunited to our souls. And so God doesn't want you to stare at your future death in some macabre way that is fearful, but you can do it with great confidence through Christ. And you can see that just in the way that our Lord has designed the work of his church in this world. The ministry of his church in this world. Just think about it. What's the day that the church chose to use every week to worship? Sunday, to recognize the resurrection of Christ on his day of Sunday every week. So that every week that you go to church, it's just a constant reminder, Easter, Easter, Easter. The Lord's Supper. Think what an awesome thing the Lord's Supper is. Jesus said the night before that he went to the cross, when he gave and instituted that gracious meal to his disciples, he said, I will not eat this again with you until I eat it anew with you in the kingdom of God. It was a projection ahead to what was coming, the future. St. Paul says that every time that we eat the Lord's Supper together, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's like a little victory meal reminding us of the foretaste of the glory that's coming for us. And in your baptism, Paul says to the Romans that you are buried with Christ in your baptism, and you are also therefore united with him in his resurrection. These are the things that God has given his people on earth to be doing and to be focused on. And they all have to do with Easter. They all have to do with this great and awesome victory of your dead body coming out of your grave and getting to eat food in heaven. That's just fantastic. So, should young people really be so focused on dying? With Christ, yes. In fact, there's no better way to live and to really enjoy this life and to be looking forward to your death with Christ in hand. Amen. We pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you delivered your Son for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit that he may now rule and govern us according to your will. Graciously keep us in the true faith. Defend us from all sins, and after this life, raise us to eternal life through the same your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.